Welcome to the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established wickedly smart women. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate women who are committed, care deeply, and have the courage to take action and create conscious change all around the world. Now here's your Wickedly Smart host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, where we celebrate wickedly smart women and provide our listeners with a wealth of wisdom, along with immediately actionable steps to be smarter, spunkier, and more successful in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Christina Morelli. Christina is a relationship communication coach working with individuals and people in partnership to create healthy, rewarding, fulfilling relationships. Her practice is all about fostering self-awareness and providing the relationship education and skills we were never taught but wish we knew. The mission is to educate the world on how to increase relational and emotional intelligence, overall happiness, and personal healing. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited that you're here. I have to ask, Christina, were you the little girl who had all of her friends and you were like just organizing all of your friends and their relationships with one another? Or did relating to people come later in life? And was there some kind of like divine intervention that got you turned on to this?
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say I was my friend's matchmakers, but I was definitely my friend's relationship counselor unofficially since as early as I can remember. The reason why I chose to get into this line of work, or not even really chose, it was so clear that this was my mission and my gift, was because I had relationships with my parents that weren't necessarily healthy, and they weren't taking the necessary steps to have better relationships. And I refused to accept that that was my only choice, was to have a unfulfilling relationship with my family, which then obviously, as we know, the relationship with our caregivers deeply impacts the relationship with our romantic partners as adults. So my early relationships as an adult were not successful either. And I just really struggled with like having major breakthroughs with them, and also with my own personal mental health issues and having certain anxieties around relationship. And I was like, there's got to be an answer. Like, I can't imagine being in a relationship where I'm not happy for the rest of my life. And I refused to settle because I could see how many successful relationships were out there. Unfortunately, there's not that many good examples unless you're actively seeking it. Mm. You know, when we think about what we're exposed to on TV or in the home that we grew up in society and culture, but I just knew in the depths of my soul that it was possible to have a very evolved, expanding, empowering, liberating relationship. And it was my mission to figure out how to do that. So beautiful. That is where it came from.
I love it. Well, you know, there's so much there, Christina. So I think I want to start with, let's all begin at the beginning. I too had a very dysfunctional relating family of origin. So oftentimes people don't know that it's possible to have it any other way. Can you speak about, was there something that happened in your life that did expose you to better relating? Or was it, again, like some internal knowing that really drove you in this direction?
Yeah. At an early age, it was an internal knowing. When I'm talking about teenage years, it was an internal knowing of, it doesn't have to be this way. There has to be a better option. This was more specific to the relationship I had with my parents. And then as I became an adult and the internet started blossoming and we had access to an infinite amount of resources and information, that is when I started actually seeking the answers that I was looking to because it was this voice that was just nagging me. And it was like, there's better. There's a better way. You can have a great relationship. You can have a relationship where somebody hears you and honors you and cherishes you. And you can communicate in ways that you've never experienced before that are productive and generative and grow the relationship in ways that maybe you never even imagined. And I'm happy to say that it did work. I am in a blissful relationship with my forever partner. And I am just incredibly grateful that that voice never left me alone, essentially.
Mm, beautiful. Well, hail to the voice. We love the voice. So ladies, please listen to your little voice, regardless of whether you're called to be working with relationship or in any other area that the Wickedly Smart Women all around the world are called to serve in. That little voice is so, so important. So that leads me to talk about the relationship that we have with that voice, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me, Christina, that it's really difficult to have excellent relationships with others if we don't have a good relationship with ourselves. So do you have anything for our listeners around really trusting that voice, really deepening in that relationship with your own knowing and your own internal world that you could support them with?
Yes, a couple of things. The first thing is I find that when I have clients who have gone through breakups or are trying to do the, like what we say the work is, so that way they have a better relationship, a practice that I work on them with is to think about your past relationships. What was your body telling you, or what was your inner voice saying to you when you were in that past relationship? And were you suppressing it? Were you ignoring it? And come to find out that they're like, I knew the whole time we weren't meant to be together. I knew the whole time we weren't compatible, but I didn't want it to be true. And that, I think, is such a core part of why we ignore the voice, is the radical acceptance of what we want versus what we need when it comes to any part of our life, and also including our relationships. Is stop denying it and let's be real and honest with ourselves, because you're only going to extend the pain and the hurt. And I know oftentimes people want to avoid that voice and the repercussions of saying it out loud or admitting it because they don't want to deal with the pain that comes along with the potential outcome of stating it. The problem is you're in pain already by ignoring that voice. It's just pain that you know you can handle because you've been experiencing it. It's the fear of the unknown of what happens if I do say this out loud, opening up that can of worms. Am I prepared for the outcome that could come about if I do say it out loud to my partner? So ultimately what I'm saying is your body knows, like, you know, stop denying it, because 5 years from now, if you finally accept that this voice isn't going to go away, because anytime we suppress it, it always resurfaces. It never fully goes away. You can push it down. You can say, like, not today. But especially being a female, what I will say is it shows up even more at certain parts of your cycle. Especially like if you are still menstruating, it shows up in the later stages of your cycle before your bleed. That's when we have a lot of clarity. That's when we have less of a, I would say, not a shield, but a field of being able to ignore the inner voice, the inner wisdom that's coming through. So if you have something that's coming up every single month and it's the same message in one way or another, chances are that is your truth. That is not a trigger response or a trauma response. This is your truth. And you have to face it. Because if you don't decide to face it, I wholly believe that the universe will force you to face it one day.
Sure. Yeah. We talk about, I think it was Oprah maybe who said it the first time, or somebody said it. Somebody said it the first time. It wasn't me. That the universe speaks in a whisper, and then a knock on the door, and then a 2x4 upside the head, and then a Mack truck if you're really, really not listening. Right.
It's so true.
Right. And Absolutely. So I want to kind of underscore this idea of being in the known pain, right? So the known pain is like when you're getting the whisper. And what I'm hearing you say is the known pain is the whisper. You don't need to wait for the Mack truck or the 2x4. So one thing that's kind of popping in for me right now around this whole field of relating with it, you know, generally, I would imagine that you're talking about romantic partners here, right? So in the field, the collective field, it may be different now, but for many, many years, it was, there's this whole scarcity of, so we do push down that voice to settle, right? So there's two items that seem to be in play to me, the scarcity, the belief that we can't actually have what we're looking for. And then the time, the clock is ticking, the clock is ticking, the clock is ticking. I mean, I know I entered into my first marriage with that clock ticking so loud, and that knowing, the deeper knowing for me was I knew I was going, it was kid time. I knew it was kid time. And I didn't really know my knowing at that point, but I knew it was kid time. So can you talk a little bit about how your work might help women to disengage from those kind of constructs so that they can really know their own authentic truth?
I would say the three, this kind of goes in line with what you're saying, is the core values of your life in general can make or break a relationship. And understanding what those core values are, and core values doesn't necessarily mean having children. It means, you know, I value time, freedom, connection, my intuition. It's like, what speaks to you so deeply that you just cannot deny it? And you have, if you want to expand and evolve as a human being, you have to honor that as much as possible. So when I talk about the fundamentals of relationships, there's three things that are imperative for a strong foundation of the relationship house that you build, which is lifestyles first. Second is goals and vision. And then thirdly is your values. So before we move on to the more, I guess, actionable tasks like having children, getting married, what are your values? What type of relationship do you want? Who do you want to be as a partner? Do you want to be a partner who is feeling rushed into the next stage of your relationship, is feeling rushed to have children, even though you and your partner aren't prepared for it? Or do you want to be a partner who can show up in a really authentic, genuine way and then let that happen organically because you are fostering such a beautiful relationship with this human being? The thing that I also want to note about relationships is there's so much that is being said about, like, you have to be good on your own. You have to be good on your own before you get into partnership. And if you have this level of pressure that is making your decision that I need to be in partnership so I can achieve these certain tasks by a certain date, then you are undermining the whole thing in general, right? So as we are thinking about what, also in addition to that, with the solo work, that is necessary to a certain extent. There's only so far we can grow individually without having additional input or additional aspects of the mirror facing us. And that is the next stage of growth is then partnership, in my opinion. Is you think you work through your daddy issues, your childhood trauma, your mommy issues when you go to therapy on your own, but then you show up in partnership and you're like, oh shit, maybe I didn't deal with this because now I have a different angle that's being shown at me. So partnership actually is like the next level of evolution and growth of our own soul. And then when you introduce a child, that's an additional mirror that's now reflecting on you. Because it's no longer just partner. It's, oh my God, now I'm the parent. What was it like for me to be a child? What did my parents do that I don't want to do? It's the next level. So you just have to make sure that you're ready and that you're taking the necessary steps to be ready for those aspects. But ultimately, to answer your question more clearly and directly, is don't be the partner who pushes in a relationship to meet a specific time goal or timestamp.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to let you know where you can find out more about Christina. Okay. But I love that last point. Really powerful. Wickedly Smart Women, we need your help. If you're enjoying this show, please consider joining our community, making a donation at wickedlysmartwomen.com, and sharing with your lovely lady friends that might benefit from our content. Help a gal out and let your sisters, mothers, daughters, friends, and colleagues know about the show so that we can serve them too. I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We're welcoming thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world. We are bumping up against a very significant milestone, so I'm excited about that. And I do want to shout out this week to our listeners in Belgium, Portugal, and Aruba. And we will be right back with Christina Morelli.
The Wickedly Smart Women podcast is brought to you by the Wealthy Life Mentor. Women, are you on the edge knowing that life is calling you to make a change? Are you ready to be part of the evolution of what it means to be a wickedly smart woman, creating your wealthy life by design, a life that is an extraordinary work of art? Angel B. Hartwell, the Wealthy Life Mentor, is hired by women in transition. Women just like you who want to break through to their brilliance, become clear on the value of their wisdom, and embody a beauty-filled, balanced life of shameless self-expression. Discover your wealthy life readiness by taking the quiz at quiz.wealthylifementor.com.
And we are back with Christina Morelli. You can find out more about Christina at ChristinaMorelliCoaching.com. We will have that for you in the show notes. So before we went to the break, we were talking about how important it is to not be putting your relationship into a time pressure cooker. What I'd love to hear from you now, Christina, is, you know, when you're working with the women or men, I don't know, do you work with both?
I do. I mainly focus on couples, but I work with both men and women.
Great. So when you're working with your couples, what are some of the challenges that you see them grappling with that you help them with?
Yeah. So majority of my couples come to me for conflict resolution. I focus on how do we turn conflict into a point of connection that is full of love and support. And majority of the couples that come to me are in a place of despair that have tried everything on their own, but they don't know what else to do. They feel like their relationship is at a breaking point and are seeking external help now. So a lot of the work that I do is focused around the education around communication that we were never taught. If only we could have been taught how to effectively communicate when we were young, our whole lives would have been different growing up. And what's really great about it is it's a really simple and easy to understand and implement process and framework that helps them understand like where the breakdown in communication happens, because it always comes down to a breakdown in communication. I said this, but you heard this. I said this, but now you're saying this, which like it sounds like you're talking about the same topic, but it sounds like you're talking about the same thing, but you're actually talking about two totally different things in the same context of whatever was initially brought up. So it's just confusion around how communication actually works in an effective way and how we can hear each other more effectively, how we can get more consent in our relationship, especially around conversations. All conversations should be consensual, in my opinion, especially if it's something that is going to be a point of contention between two partners. You know, inviting the person to the conversation, asking them like, hey, I have something that's on my mind. Do you have time to talk right now? And if they're like, no, I don't, because I'm so stressed out at work and I just don't think I can be in the headspace for it, but I can be available if I go take a shower, just give me an hour and I will get myself ready. So that way I can hold space for you. It's also a matter of like understanding how your childhood, it feels so cheesy to talk about childhood wounds because it feels like such a hot topic nowadays, but it does so deeply impact our adult relationships. But understanding what these wounds are, what your triggers are, what are your fears and shames around relationships? And when people say it, the keys to a successful relationship is communication and compromise. The thing I will say about that is you can't communicate effectively without having self-awareness first. So that's where the solo work comes in and fostering that self-awareness in order to communicate. We all can, I'm communicating with you right now. I can communicate with my partner and it get absolutely nowhere. But that's because I didn't have the self-awareness before entering into that conversation at that moment. And then it just ends up going in cycles, in circles, and we get nowhere, right? So it's bringing the self-awareness, it's bringing the frameworks to communication that people can follow, because now you have a structure that you can follow. And then it just makes it so easy at that point. Although I will say that learning new communication as an adult is exceptionally difficult, because when I go through these work processes with my clients, they are awkward, they feel strange, they feel uncomfortable. But that's because you're learning a new behavior. And that is not easy the older we get sometimes.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I remember when somebody first said the word consent. I was like, what? That's a thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a little bit of a different generation than you, Christina. And in our generation, we just, you know, there was no communication. Yeah. There was no consent.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I'm actually really, you know, enlivened and excited for this present generation of women and men in relationship, because there are so many tools available now. There is so much more collective awareness. There is so much more available information, both from a medical perspective, a mental health perspective, as well as, you know, people like you who are in the space really with the authentic desire to help other people. So speaking of that, if you have like a favorite success story that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say their names for anonymous reasons, but I had a couple that came to me. They've been together for 18 years and they have gone to, I think, 3 to 4 other couples therapists and never any success. It was the same thing over and over and over again. And they got divorced. They got back together. The same cycles were happening over and over again. And when we started working together, I was working with them on like creating their ideal relationship blueprint. Because when you can have a blueprint, which you're familiar with in the work that you do, when you have a blueprint or roadmap that takes you to that, it's a guiding point. It's a North Star for your relationship. You get to realize whenever you are off track or working towards the goals, or, hey, we got to this point, but this isn't what we want anymore. So let's renegotiate and come up with a new plan and pivot. I digress. So I was working with them on this blueprint. And during that time, they were expressing to me that they want to prevent the big blowouts. And the big blowouts happen with the tiny little paper cuts that happen in relationship. I call it death by 1,000 paper cuts, where the little pings of pain that happen because he said this or she didn't show up in this way for me, that we don't express to each other, that then build up over time and cause a major blowout, because now something happened that broke, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And all of those past 6 months of resentment is now coming out in that fight. It's ultimately about like, what is the preventative care that we can put in place for the relationship? What are the steps we can take? How do I recognize myself when I am feeling hurt? And how do I communicate that in a way that it can get across to that person? So within 2 months, we were able to stop the fighting completely. By month 3, they were showing up to calls and had nothing to talk about, because they were in such a good place. So it was a really beautiful experience. I will say they did have one pretty big fight during the time I was working with them, but instead of it being 3 months of anger and resentment and trying to work through it and expressing themselves, we got through it in 2 weeks when I was working with them. So it was a really beautiful experience for them to even acknowledge, like, that was the fastest we've ever gotten through repairing a rupture in our relationship. And we're in such a good place now that we literally don't know what to talk to you about because we're so happy together. So that is definitely my success story of the year that I'm really proud of. Yeah.
I love that. Well, so there's a couple things that I just want our listeners to hear. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but this idea of consent in the whole process of just communicating with one another. Also, the invitation to self-awareness of, am I harboring resentments? Am I, you know, do I have my little check sheet there with, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened? Because, you know, when you put your little mental check sheet, then the resentment builds and then the resentment builds and then eventually you have that. So this idea of self-awareness. And then finally, I would say to our listeners that a signal for any relationship being ready, ripe for a confrontation to show up is when you're starting to feel resentment. So we've got like 1 minute left, Christina. Okay. In the last minute, what would you like to say to our listeners about you, about your work, or about relating?
Thank you. I appreciate you asking. I would say that the most important thing that I want everybody to understand is that the relationships that we have in our life, whether it's family, friends, romantic partners, are the most important aspects to our life when it comes to our overall joy and happiness. Especially, I don't know if you've heard of the Harvard Happiness Study that's been going on for 80 years. They've been following the same people throughout their entire life, their families as well, and tracking these people. And it always boils down to the connections that we have. So my ask for the listeners is prioritize your relationships. Take care of them as closely as you can, with as much support and love as you can, because in the end, when we die, that is what we're going to appreciate the most. We're going to look back on our life. We're not going to care if we bought that new iPhone or that new car. We're going to care that we had that a beautiful experience with that person that we love so deeply. So that's what I would say, is start prioritizing your relationships, because so many people are prioritizing their careers and things like that. That's not what's going to be with you in the end. What's going to be with you in the end is the love that you have in your life.
Oh, that's beautiful, Christina. Thank you so much for being here today. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you think of today's episode. Go right now to wickedlysmartwomen.com to join our community, share your takeaways, ask questions, or submit guest suggestions. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are a wonderful woman.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Wickedly Smart Women on Apple Podcasts and share with other women who can benefit from today's episode. Wickedly Smart Women is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who carries profound wisdom and knows that now is the time to welcome wealth. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at wickedlysmartwomen.com.